You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
But you can't bowl and you can't throw. Just telling you what everybody knows. Absolute sins, you put down all the talent that's hit you out of the ground. Don't ask warning, it was Karen and Joe. See, you can't bowl and you can't throw.
In a week where Cameron Bancroft's Domestic Player of the Year award had selectors saying, "See, we told you this was where he belonged," this is Can't Bowl, Can't Throw.
But there's no doubt over the last 12 to 18 months playing in this team, I felt a lot of love and it's helped me a lot, so yeah, it's been great.
Well, now you'll always be Alan Border medalist, Mitchell Marsh.
That's weird, isn't it?
And you've seen some of the names that have won this award. I mean, you would have grown up watching it. What's it like to join them?
Yeah, I won't lie. One of my friends sent it to me today, the list, and I just thought if I win it, it's going to look weird.
You're here with Kat Jones and Dan Libke and a humble Alan Border medal winning Mitchell Marsh.
Yes. Well, he did make a lovely speech, didn't he?
It was a delightful speech.
Yeah. I watched the video of his speech. He is a great down-to-earth guy for sure, but I have two questions.
Yeah.
The first one is, just because the audience laughed, did he tell any jokes?
I'm not sure he told any jokes. He's just an affable kind of guy.
Yeah, yes. Yeah, that's good. And the second question, that medal around his neck, it's the size of a 5-cent piece. Is it a tribute to, I don't know, AB's frugal nature or something like that?
It could be, yeah. It could also be that, you know, Mitch Marsh famously has the heaviest head in Australian cricket. So it could just be that his head is absolutely enormous and it just makes the medal look proportionally smaller.
I guess so. Well, it was a surprise for me that he won.
Yeah, it was a surprise for everybody. There was a few whispers around that maybe he might come from, maybe people went back and looked at all the numbers over the year and thought, oh, he's actually played a lot of ODIs and done pretty well in them. And he came back into the test side, he might be a chance. And ultimately he won in a landslide. It was a thrashing.
Yeah. And he was ODI player of the year,
yes,
right?
He was, yeah.
So if you can't remember Mitch Marsh doing anything this year, you need to just go back and watch the entire World Cup.
And also, well, the other thing was he did all these things while we were all asleep, which is mostly the World Cup, but also over in South Africa. I think he was the only good player in South Africa.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think he did a lot of things while most Australians were asleep. So good on him.
You can still win if you do that.
Yep, exactly.
And the other winners, of course, Ash Gardner won her second Belinda Clark Award.
Yeah. So that was a neat trick from her because most of the games that women play are obviously ODIs and T20s, mostly white ball. And Perry won both of those Player of the Year awards. So Gardner getting a 12-er in the test certainly helped her just sneak past Perry to get the Belinda Clark Award.
You get more points, don't you,
you do.
For the tests?
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. And Test Player of the Year for the men was Lyon.
Yeah, Nathan Lyon. Missed most of the Ashes, but that didn't stop him. He's just out there taking wickets all the time. And, of course, Jason Berendorf was the T20 Player of the Year, which is an excellent effort. But since I don't remember a single T20 over the last 12 months.
No.
But good on him, I guess Berendorf must have done well at them.
This is the part of the show where we discuss the cricket news of the week.
Lots of stuff going on in the world of cricket, but we just have time to cover the test series between Australia and the West Indies.
Yes, so the entire test series has taken place in between episodes of this podcast.
Yeah, we're not in your ears too often. We're not annoying you too often.
Yeah, we're generally fortnightly, which and they just blitz through these two tests, no mucking about. So we'll just go through a few highlights from the test. No, don't really care about the scores, more That's just right. about the amusing things that entertained us.
Highlights for us may not be the same as highlights for others.
Yes. So the first test was a pretty comfortable win for Australia. Head got a century and Hazelwood took 9 wickets, all very boring. Because the most exciting player in that first test was Shamar Joseph. Mm. So this was his debut. On debut, first ball, I'll just take the wicket of Steve Smith. Thank you very much.
Fantastic.
Yes. And he ended up taking 5 wickets in that first innings, which was, you know, he was brilliant. He was fast. He was excellent. And then later when he came out to bat, he asked Steve Smith to tie his shoelaces for him, which was lovely. Specifically called him out from the slips court and said, "You, Smith, come here, tie my shoelaces, please."
Yeah, magnificent. So yes. good. This team, this West Indies team, was so much fun.
Yeah, they were great.
Yeah. And they were competent. They weren't just goofy and fun. They were competent, cutthroat and fun for some of the series at least.
Yes.
So, of course, Australia held the trophy previously, so winning one match was enough.
Yeah, because it's only a two-test series. Yeah.
Shame it was a two-test series. I mean, I'm sure at the start of the season we went, oh, yeah, these two-test series, well, that'll be done. Yep. And then, no, we want more.
Yeah, instead we got a whole heap of white ball games that Jason Behrendorf will probably do very well in.
Yes, of course.
The second test, though, that was the interesting one, right?
Yeah, it was really great. And it was, well, it was on at the same time as India and England. Yeah. So we were just, you know, eyes from one screen to another. It's the best part of summer, isn't it, when you have two tests on at once? Yeah.
Although I'd like them to be staggered, just stagger them slightly so you've got one going on in a lunch break of the others. Like these were, like they both started bang on 3 o'clock our time.
And their breaks at the same time.
Breaks exactly the same time. There was a period, might have been late day three or something, where they got slightly out of sync because an innings finished early and the West Indies took an extra 15 minutes. So maybe that was the fourth day. I've lost track now. But yeah, there was definitely a few periods where they were out of sync. That was quite nice. But in sync was made it a bit more troubling.
And what wasn't nice for some of them was a few people got COVID. I think two or three or four people got COVID and they were still allowed to play, which is a glorious variant on the virus or a variant on the game?
Yes, lots of variants. Coronavirus Green, as they started calling him.
So he's a great name for the next variant.
Yes, so he had to isolate from everybody on the first day. Travis Head's version of coronavirus went away. I think they just decided it was a Travis Head cold.
That's good.
So that was fine.
Yeah.
Anyway, excellent. So Green was, you know, just had to hang out in the gully where he likes to hang out in the gully anyway.
Yeah.
Whatever happened, he just had to stay there and not get too close to anybody.
Mm. And that's how they invented the gully position, you know. It was just another slip, and then they went, no, this dude's sick. He's coughing on me.
Yep.
Send him over there, and that became
gully. That was in the 1920s, right?
Yeah.
The original plague.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So at one stage you almost forgot. Hazelwood took a wicket, and that was very exciting. So he came in to do a big high 10 on Josh Hazelwood, and Hazelwood just shooed him away. Just, nah, get out of here, mate. I don't want you anywhere near me.
Excellent. Testing the memory of the Australians there. And he also missed out on congratulating Stark and couldn't give him a bum pat when Starkey took his 350th test wicket.
Yeah, so that was very disappointing. But he got better by the second day, so he was able to get back in amongst it after that. But of course, the best wicket celebration of this test was Kevin Sinclair, who got Usman Khawaja out, caught it slip, and did this delighted backflip. This was his first wicket in Test cricket.
Yeah.
Usman Khawaja, also very good. And yeah, the celebration was wonderful. I didn't know it was coming. I hadn't been following his career till that point.
I think it was a cartwheel followed by a backflip, right?
It was very
It was a full
excitable.
Routine.
Yes.
Yeah. And it was a shame. I mean, it was a shame really for Sinclair if how many years earlier he could have debuted if he hadn't been busy practicing.
Yeah.
But anyway, you've got to make an impact. You
definitely made an impact. I mean, we need so much more of this in cricket. I did notice Lyon took an almost identical wicket in the next innings. He had, you know, somebody caught it slip the exact same way Khawaja was. And, like, he didn't even do a forward roll or anything. It was very boring. I know he's older, so you can't expect him to spring around, but, you know, at least get on the ground and do a somersault or something.
Is there anything funnier than a forward roll from a crouch at the ground?
I would love to see. Nathan, he should have been disqualified from winning the Test Player of the Year for his lack of acrobaticism, I say.
It's a missed comedic opportunity. I feel almost certain certain that Mitch Marsh would have done a forward role.
Yeah, yes.
And did you have to do forward roles in primary school?
Yeah, yeah.
What the hell? Why did they make us do that?
I don't know. Had to learn them. Everyone, this is how you actually roll forward.
Honestly, I mean, it depends how old you are, people listening, whether you had to do forward roles. What possible future benefit could there have been for a perfect technique on a forward role?
Yeah.
Apart from if we became professional cricketers.
Yeah. So I guess the other funny moment was Pat Cummins declaring behind.
Yes.
Australia were 22 runs behind, 9 wickets down.
Which guaranteed that they would lose.
Exactly. I mean,
you can't declare behind and win.
No, it seemed like a good idea at the time.
Yeah.
But yeah, when they did end up losing by 8 runs, it was just like, that's a bit of a shame.
Yes.
But he did declare 9 wickets down and Hazelwood was the next batter in. And we saw in the second innings that Hazelwood wasn't going to contribute much with the bat.
No.
So, yeah, I think the bigger concern was that Cummins was on 64 not out at the time. Mm. He should have gone on to get his century.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Or he could have got 64 out.
Could have.
He was going to get a century though, wasn't he?
I think so.
He was locked in.
Yeah. I think they were also worried at that time the weather forecast was bad. So I was just like, let's hurry up and get this done. In the end, it didn't matter. I don't think they missed a single minute of play, the weather.
No, the weather was good.
Yes.
Smith was also good.
Mm.
And he has now got an average of 60 as an
precisely
opener.
Precisely 60.
Yeah, because he managed to carry his bat 91 not in the second innings. Mm. And after a few other low scores, that does average out.
Yep. Mm. So, yeah, I just thought it was great trolling for him to get his opener average to the number he's been associated with for most of his career. Everyone's complaining. Just like, nah, you know me, the 60 average dude? Bang, 60. I'm right here.
I'm right on.
Yep. Very funny.
But again, it wasn't the Australians really who were highlights in that second test. Of course, Shamar Joseph was incredible. He was batting in the second innings and he had to retire hurt because Mitchell Starc smashed a Yorker into his toe.
Mm. Yeah, it was a very very strange way to end an innings because he was given out. Then he reviewed it. Then they checked it and saw, oh, wait a sec, Mitchell Starc's overstepped. So that's a no ball. It would have been not out. Then they checked it anyway to just say, oh, what would have happened if he hadn't overstepped? And it would have been umpire's call, which meant he would have been out except for the no ball. But anyway, he retired hurt and off he went. So it was a very strange way to end an innings.
Yes.
But fair enough too. I mean, if Mitchell Starc hurled a ball into my toe, I would never play cricket again.
No, exactly.
Yes.
And also, I think it was just a nice tribute to Cummins, declaring with 9 down. So really nice little bit of symmetry there. It'll look good when they do the biopic and the movie.
Yes.
Anyway, Joseph then was presumably off in hospital getting his toe amputated or something. But no, he wasn't. He came back the next day.
Yep.
He even said people had to talk him into coming back the next day. And he came on to bowl. Not a problem.
Well, Australia were cruising when he came on. They had Smith and Green there who were there, the batters overnight. And they looked very comfortable. They were just, motoring along. They were looking like comfortably getting Australia home.
Yeah. I mean, Green wasn't that comfortable.
He wasn't he wasn't comfortable the night before, but the next morning he got a lot better and was looked very comfortable. And then as soon as Joseph came on, Joseph gave him a short ball and I think he played that on. Then Travis Head came out. Travis Head bowled first ball by a brilliant Yorker for
That's
a king
right.
pair.
Incredible.
And then that must have just got Joseph's adrenaline up because he just continued on. He did not stop. He
12 over spell.
Mm, yeah. I mean, he stopped for lunch, but he was probably bowling in the room while he was eating because he was fired up and he ended up with 7 for 68 and winning the game for the West Indies by 8 runs and then, sprinting the entire Gabba in celebration. It was magnificent.
Yeah, it was really good.
Yeah.
And then Cummins posted a photo of him and he swapped shirts. Joseph and Cummins swapped shirts after the game.
Yeah. It's a great thrill, isn't it, to receive the shirt of one of the greatest bowlers ever? And Joseph will be pleased as well, right?
Yep, that's right.
Yes.
Cummins will no doubt frame that one.
Yes.
And of course, it was the best Gabba test in living memory.
Yes. And it was also funny that Australia, after that losing that great match and the West Indies celebrating wildly, Australia had to pose with the trophy, which was very funny.
Yep.
Please support capitalism by checking out these sponsors.
I'm sick of plugging things, so this week I'm not plugging anything at all. I'm out for this week. So.
If I'd known this, I would have brought along something to sell, like an old cricket bat or a used helmet.
Yep.
Actually, I do have something to sell.
Okay.
And it's free.
Oh, free. Well, that's, okay. Sell it.
Well, you often sell free things too.
That's true, yes.
Yeah. So if you want to listen to a more sweary commentary of the England-India second test, it starts Friday. Come on over to Guerrilla Cricket. Guerrilla Cricket does alternative commentary. There's a link we'll put in the show notes to that website. GuerrillaCricket.com, spelt like the underground warfare, but with two L's like an animal.
Yep.
I didn't name it, and I actually do know how to spell it. But anyway, I am commentating the first session on Friday and Sunday. And you will have a great time if you come and join Guerrilla Cricket. Mostly English commentators, but sometimes we have the Australian version, which is White Line Wireless,
yes,
commentating as well.
Yes. And of course, because it's such a convenient time zone for Australia, you may get a few Australian commentators in the first session, including Kat.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Let's play. Are you smarter than a fifth grade cricketer?
Quiz. So, as we mentioned, simultaneously with the Australia-West Indies second test, India and England played their first test, which was, again, a brilliant finish. That this one was equally thrilling.
Yeah, another miracle.
We finished watching the miracle of the Gabba, and then we flipped straight over and watched the miracle of Hyderabad. So, another baseball miracle for England. They recovered from a 190-run deficit in the first innings and won by 28 runs. It was an awesome test match. Mm. So, the quiz for you today, Kat, is very simple. Mm-hmm. I'm going to read you a news quote about the match. So, this is taken from all kinds of different websites or wherever. And I will redact the occasional keyword which would give the answer away. But you just have to tell me whether the quote I'm reading you is from the first 2 days of the test, which is when India were on top, or the second 2 days of the test, which is when England came back to win.
Right. Okay. Right. So was it from the first couple of days by whichever journalist, or was it in the second? Okay.
Yep. So first half or second half, that's all you have to do. Question one. The shortcomings were evident, redacted, like the experience and skill of redacted, and it could make for a long series. Was that from the first half or the second half?
Well, let's go with probably the accepted wisdom would be that England lacked the experience and skill of India. So I'll say that's from the first 2 days.
That's correct, yes. Hey. The full quote was, the shortcomings were evident. England spinners lack the experience and skill of the Indian attack, and it could make for a long series. Excellent. One out of one.
Ooh.
Question two. The batters were unwilling to take any risks to throw redacted off their lengths, which allowed them to settle into their work, build consistency, and create wicket-taking opportunities.
So this could be a cricketer, or it could be England, or it could be India. I'm going to say they were unwilling, the Indian batters were unwilling to take any risk to throw England off their lengths in the second 2 days that quote was made.
That is also correct, yes. The batters were unwilling to take any risks to throw an unfancied England spin attack off their lengths, which allowed them to settle into the work, build consistency, and create wicket-taking opportunities. Two out of two. All right, question three. The concern for me was redacted. Frenetic is a word that is used about him regularly, and it summed him up yesterday. First half or second half?
Now I'm wondering who was scoring at a fast pace, because I feel like this is a batter that he's redacted here. And the only one I can think of that is summed up as frenetic is Stokes. So I think this happened, well, he didn't score in the second inning. So this must have happened in, I don't think he scored. Yeah, it must have happened in the first 2 days.
Yep. Is that your answer?
Yeah.
All right. You are correct. It's not Ben Stokes, though. The concern to me was Ollie Pope at three. Frenetic is a word that is used about him regularly.
Is it?
And it summed him up yesterday. Well, he was terrible in his first innings and then like an absolute genius in his second innings.
Yeah.
So,
okay. Yep. Good.
So you're three from three.
First 2 days. I mean, this is very easy. It's like a yes, no answer.
Yep. All right. Question four. I don't think you can get rid of, this is from KP. I do the accent, but I can't be bothered. I don't think you can get rid of somebody as quickly as one test match. He will definitely play the second test, and let's have a look and see how he prepares. Let's not cast redacted aside and say he can't play. He can play. First half or second half?
Well, there was one particular player that everyone was casting aside in the first 2 days, and that was Hartley. he didn't have a fabulous debut in the first innings. I'll say first half.
Yeah, this is the first time you got one wrong.
Oh,
yes. This is not Hartley at all. This is Shubman Gill. So this was at the end of the test match. Shubman Gill had not scored many runs in either innings, and so KP was coming to Shubman Gill's defence with that particular quote.
Wow, interesting.
So 3 from 4.
That's okay. 3 out of 4. Yep. I'm better than chance.
Better than chance. That's always the goal.
Mm-hmm.
Question 5. Redacted will probably rue their first innings. They got redacted, but actually they could have got a lot more if not for some sloppy dismissals.
Huh. Okay. So let's presume that's the team. So England got first innings 200 odd. India got 400 odd.
Yep.
Let's say it's about India. And someone said it in the second 2 days.
That is correct. That's absolutely spot on. India will probably rue their first innings. They got 436, but actually they could have got a lot more if not for some sloppy dismissals. 4 out of 5. Last one. There is nowhere to hide when Redacted decides to string you along on days like these, but neither sought sanctuary.
I'm going to assume this is, I reckon this is the last question, right?
This is the last one.
I think this is probably about a commentator. And so we've had a hint of who this might be. I think this is about KP. And I reckon someone said it in the second 2 days.
Yeah, no, that's not true. I wish it was about KP. But no, it's just about the Indian side. There is nowhere to hide when an Indian side decides to string you along on days like these. But neither sought sanctuary. I wish I had done a commentator. It did occur to me as I was reading that out, I should probably have thrown in one from the Australia-West Indies game as well. But anyway, I didn't think of that until just then.
I called your bluff and it was inappropriate.
Yep.
Okay.
Either way, that's 4 out of 6, which I believe does make you smarter than a fifth grade cricketer.
Excellent.
Can't bowl, can't throw, coming live. Thanks for tuning in and taking your time. The underappreciated act of the week. The funniest and crazy plays of the week. Who is gonna join the honorary board? The number one Scott Moeller reward.
Here we are in the Mullah, which is where we celebrate the ridiculous and absurd and brilliant things about cricket. So the first nomination I've got is, I guess the nomination is the World Test Championship ladder, because despite England winning that test so magnificently, they actually went backwards on the World Test Championship ladder. This is because it's all done on percentages, and the West Indies win. They've played fewer tests over the course of the cycle, means they jumped up above England now, who wallow in 8th spot. So that's a classic Bazball manoeuvre from England.
Yeah, and that'll teach you to beat India.
Exactly, yeah, very good. My next nomination is Charlie Chaplin, who showed up to the Hyderabad test. He was just up there.
What did he use for his time machine?
I'm not sure what he used. I think he just, maybe cryogenics, just came out, and it was very hot in Hyderabad, so he probably just melted out and out he popped. So he was there cheering on, not sure who he was cheering on. Let's say he was cheering on England. I think he is an English supporter. I had a few people on Twitter saying, oh, that's Blogs from, he's always dressed as Charlie Chaplin. I was like, okay, good-o. Anyway, I just find it all very immature to come to the ground dressed as Charlie Chaplin. I like the quiet dignity of 400 people dressed as Imperial Stormtroopers.
Yes.
Or Richie Beno or drunken Englishman screaming at David Warner that he's a dirty fucking cheat.
Yeah.
That's how you do a crowd.
That's an outfit.
Yeah.
All right. Well, in the women's game, I have another nomination. And Australia lead the multi-format series at the minute 4-2 after beating South Africa 2-1 in the T20s, right? So the highlight of that series, Alyssa Healy. And she's invented something new. In the vein of Stuart Broad, she's invented the Celebra View.
Yes.
The Celebra View, which is almost better than the Celebra Peel.
It's really good. I was very excited to see it.
Yeah. It was funny. It was funny in the instant she did it.
Yep.
She took a catch behind, and before she even waited for the umpire to say no, I mean, the umpire didn't have a chance to raise the finger before she reviewed it.
Yeah. Yeah. I think the umpire maybe got a millimetre of a head shake in there, and Alyssa Healy was just like, nah, I'm taking this catch review.
Straight away.
Yeah, it was very good.
She was not looking anywhere, and she just went off to celebrate.
Yep, it was fantastic.
Really great.
Really good work from Alyssa Healy. See, that's why you have a wicketkeeper as a captain. That is one benefit. They can do their own reviews the instant they know it's out. She heard the faint edge. The umpire didn't. She's like, nah, you're an idiot umpire. Up we go immediately, and I'm going to celebrate before we go any further.
Incredible.
Yeah, so good work, Alyssa Healy. I do have another nomination.
Mm-hmm.
I've got the Big Bash. Some team won that between now and last time. I think it might have been Brisbane.
Yeah.
I don't really remember now. There was a player of the match in the final as well. Again, no idea who it was. But
so are you nominating yourself for not knowing anything?
For not knowing anything about the Big Bash.
A match we actually watched.
Yeah. we did watch, yep. Anyway, this player, this is the nomination is the medal he got. So you were talking about Mitch Marsh's tiny medal before. Yeah. This guy got a medal far bigger than the AB medal.
Yeah, right. He got,
but it was in the shape of a KFC bucket.
That is not true.
It is true. You can find the photos on it. It's a KFC bucket medal.
Oh, my God.
Which was hung around his neck. And he can take that KFC bucket into any KFC outlet for the rest of his life and get a free bucket of KFC.
Oh, my Lord.
And I think Mitch Marsh can't do that. So this is a better award to win. Sorry, Mitch Marsh. Yeah. You need to swap your AB medal for a KFC bucket Big Bash player of the final medal.
Wow. I wonder if that player, whoever the fuck he was, looked at the list of previous winners of the KFC bucket and went, geez, I don't belong in that list.
Yeah,
he probably did. I can't put away nuggets like those guys.
like Aaron Finch.
Yep.
Yeah, very good.
All right, well, I've got another one. And again, KP features. And in post-production editing, Dan may put our little KP. We've got a couple of little stings that feature KP.
KP. I'll see if I can find it right now, actually. Let's see. This is an old one.
When's the short ball coming?
Short ball obviously plays a huge part.
Get yourself to play the short ball. The worst thing to do, play the short ball.
Or you're playing the short ball.
Yeah, we're going to talk about playing the short ball.
There we go. There's KP.
Blast from the past.
Anyway, he was having a conversation, not about the short ball, nothing to do with the short ball, but with AB de Villiers, and they were conversing on Twitter or X, and KP suggested that maybe, you know, radical change of the laws, really big sixes over 100 metres should be worth 12 instead of 6.
And he didn't seem to consider the fact that nobody actually gets out a measurement. Like, there's no measurement for these. This is just some algorithm going, oh, it looks about 103 metres. Like, there's no accuracy involved in any
of
this.
It's full guesswork on the TV screen. But anyway, so then AB came in and said, he thought, okay, yeah, great idea, KP. This is the KP versus AB.
Yep.
And said, nah, I'm going to give it a 9. I want to give it an upside down 6.
Yeah, I think he was very pleased with the idea of an upside down 6.
Yeah, so he wanted to have a valid research based rationale for his suggestion, but he also wanted DRS decided by whichever three people happened to be in the commentary box, which is now I think he was actually just taking the piss, wasn't he?
I don't think so. I'm not sure he was. I think these guys are very good at hitting cricket balls.
Yeah.
Perhaps not so great at thinking through the ramifications of whatever random ideas pop into their heads.
Yeah.
Nevertheless, I would love it if the three people in the commentary box decided what happens. I'd love to see Mark Waugh just look up and go, what? I wasn't watching.
Yeah.
Don't know.
Yeah. That's fantastic.
Anyway, in other news, while I was researching this to find out exactly the distance KP suggested the balls needed to be hit, I made the sad discovery that KP has now blocked me on Twitter.
What did you do to him?
Oh, I made a lot of fun of him during the test match because he was so annoying. I wish he'd block me on commentary. Like, I'd much rather not have to listen to him on commentary rather than not have to listen to him.
Now, there's an innovation for X.
Yeah.
Can you organise it so that if someone blocks you, you can also get him blocked on commentary? That would be good.
Yes. So that's a lot of nominations.
Oh, it is. I can't even remember the first few.
Yeah.
Wow.
So who are we going to give it to?
I think we'll give it to Charlie Chaplin.
Give it to Charlie Chaplin. Yeah. Oh, that's a
never twist. Before won.
No.
First time winner.
Yep, first time winner. Congratulations to Charlie Chaplin.
In his very first appearance
very
in the
first
podcast.
Appearance. Yep, he'll celebrate that. Interstitial will come up saying, thank you very much for this Mueller Award. He won't actually say it because he's silent.
He'll pull a cigar out, presumably.
Yep, twirl his cane and off he'll toddle with it. Yes. All right. I think that's time for us to go. You've been listening to Dan Lipke. I'm at Leib Cricket on the previously discussed Twitter.
And I'm at Cricket Bat Cat on various different social media platforms that are all fighting for ascendancy.
Yes. Presumably. I think Twitter is still winning, but we can bring them down. If the West Indies can bring Australia down, the other social media platforms can bring Twitter down.
That's true.
In the meantime, track us down on Twitter at Can't Bowl Throw, and you can also find us on Facebook by searching for Can't Bowl Can't Throw. And don't forget to listen to Guerrilla Cricket when the second test between India and England begins.
Social Podcast Network.